It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The saga continues with the LJ four-point play ball. 2019, I believe it was, the man who caught the ball when Chris Childs threw it into the stands said, "I'd like to give this to and gift this to Boomer so he can auction it off for the Boomer Esiason Foundation." You said that is such a generous move, and we're going to get this thing signed by Larry Johnson. LJ four-point play ball signed by Larry Johnson is going to go for a lot of money. One of the great memories in Knicks history, especially considering how bad they were after that for many years. So the ball went from the head of your foundation, Bob, into the hands of Wally Szczerbiak, into the hands of someone who worked in the Tau suite, into a closet somewhere, and then disappeared. So I thought maybe in the confusion, Larry Johnson ended up with the ball because the directive was to get Larry that ball. So maybe somebody heard that, or Wally said that to somebody, and then Larry ended up with the ball. So we had not been able to find Larry Johnson or ask him about this until last night. So Chris Mercadante, a sales guy here, was with his client, Angel, from Corona, and they were having a watch party, WFAN and Corona having a watch party where Larry Johnson was there as a special guest. So Mercadante's filming this, and Angel from Corona goes up and asks Larry Johnson, "Hey, where is the four-point play ball?" And he goes, "That quarterback's got it." He goes, I think he played for the Giants." And then the guy goes, "You're talking about Eli?" He goes, No. It's way before Eli and way before you were probably watching." He goes, "He does the radio show." And then the guy goes, "Oh, Boomer?" He goes, Yeah. Boomer's got it." So then after that, he's like, "Oh, really?" He's like, Yeah. Boomer's got it." And then apparently he's like, "Boomer tried to get it to me."
Yeah, so it's gotten where word has gotten to him somehow.
Right.
And he goes, he's like, watching this video from last night, you can see that he knows what's going on.
Yeah. Like, and then he ended it with, "He tried to get it to me, but nah, Boomer, you can have it." That's what he said.
Yeah. So we do not think that he has it.
No. After watching that, it's a genuine response. He has no idea where the ball is. So we can now at least close the chapter on that. Larry Johnson doesn't have the ball. Someone else has the ball, and someone stole the ball, essentially, at this
point. Out of a closet in the towel suite.
Right. Could have thrown it out, I guess,
because Wally was so laissez-faire with it.
Yeah. I mean, someone could have been cleaning that thing out and just thrown it away.
Or brought it home to their kids, and their kids are shooting it in the backyard right now as we speak.
Maybe. Yeah. But it was just funny. He goes, "The quarterback's got it. Ah." I think he plays for the Giants. I was just waiting for him to say Phil Sims.
Oh, God.
If he would have said Phil Sims. And then Phil called up, "Yep, I've had it the whole time." Imagine the twist. Oh, my goodness. We never knew. We never saw it coming. But anyway, we've put out an APB on this thing for years now. If anybody has any idea, Tau suite, closet, at this point, I mean, my goodness. I feel like it's gone.
When you talk to Wally about it.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, so serious. Like, I just put it there. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do what you did? It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't, and it's unfortunate. And I was really hoping that Larry had it, because then it'd be like, okay, it's in Larry's hands. Larry deserves it at the very least. But now I'm annoyed all over again that just somebody took it. Just took it.
And somebody was so lax in their responsibility to try to do the right thing.
Well, the good thing is, though, that Larry doesn't seem... I mean, the bad thing, obviously, is the foundation missed out on an opportunity there. And someone missed out on an opportunity of having a great piece of memorabilia. But the good news is, though, that Larry Johnson doesn't seem to be concerned about where the ball is. Like, he's not looking forward going, "I've been looking for that ball my whole life, and I've never been able to get a chance to see it." Like, he doesn't seem to care at all.
No.
About the ball. Doesn't mean anything to him. Which is interesting. Which I guess you were sort of the same way, like when I asked you about it. Like, there was never something that, like, that happened in a game. You're like, "I have to have this thing now for the rest of time, like a helmet or a or a football for whatever. You know, it just, it's really the memories and the games and those things that matter to you.
Those are the things that stick with us for forever. I mean, you know, something that is a physical item that represents something you did. Yeah, I guess that's important to certain respects, and maybe you pass it down to your kids.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
But, yeah, it's still out there, still gone. Nobody knows where it is. Should have put one of those Apple Air tags on it. That would have helped. Rick in Brooklyn, what's going on, Rick?
Oh, this Larry Johnson conversation got me all juiced. I love it. I feel this way. Within 3 minutes of the game, the Knicks were still in striking distance, which says to me that hot start, I mean, it was just impossible to come back from that. It was too hot a start, and the Knicks kept up, but I just think they ran out of gas. I also feel this way. If the Knicks lose this series in 5 or 6, then we all have to accept the fact that Indiana is just better. And I don't think it's the coach's fault. I think he's doing what he has to do based on what he has. But if they lose this in 7, then you got to go back and say, Game 1 is where you blew the whole thing. That's just how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And after Game 1, I was thinking that they would come back and play great in Game 2. And it seemed like they had a beat on the Pacers, even more so than they did on the Celtics outside of that blowout win in Game 6. And I just, Towns had played better. Everybody had played better. It was some of the best that they had played, but then they end up blowing it in the fourth quarter. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, you lose the series, that game becomes even worse as you go through it. But I mean, I agree, and I don't think the Pacers are more talented. I don't think they have more talented players than the Knicks. I just think that they, at this point, play better as a team, and they know who they are. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what the Knicks are from quarter to quarter. Where these other teams have identities. This is who they've been. This is how they win games. If they lose games, you know how they're going to do it. I mean, the Knicks are just, it's a different group that shows up every night.
Well, we just played Boston and now Indiana, and both are three-point shooting teams. And they're both...
This team isn't as much. I mean, they shoot threes, but not like the Celtics do.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? They took some bad shots late in this game last night that let the Knicks hang around. Let's face it. You know, they went down there and they were hoisting up threes and missing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Mikal Bridges missed, I think, 3 shots in a row.
He did in the fourth quarter, which I don't understand why he's the one taking those shots.
Yeah, but who, I mean, like, I guess Brunson, but Brunson didn't have a good shooting night. Yeah, you're not going to give it to Hart. Yeah, I guess you'd give it to Towns. But, you know, see, they're up on Towns. You know, you could say whatever you want. I mean, he very rarely has a chance at the top of the 3-point line, top of the key area, did not have somebody in his face. Like, he has not really had that open shot. He's had it a couple times, and he's made it. And a couple times, he's taken a few shots too far away, just because I think he's frustrated by it. But it's amazing how he doesn't nearly have the room that the Pacers had last night.
Yeah, and he gets in early foul trouble again, has to sit on the bench midway through the first quarter. So, sloppy fouls.
You're watching these two fouls in the second half. One, he arm bars, mm-hmm. What's his name, Miles Turner. And the other one, he's grabbing, I think, Bradley's arm. Bradley. Mm-hmm. Bradley!
Yeah,
I am. Now, all of a sudden, you know, and that's what the Pacers did. You know, Carlisle put Bradley in to kind of neutralize Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, and he only played, I don't know, I think 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
Bradley last night. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the most frustrating situations.
By the way, Bradley was a +10 last night.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an impact right there. But, I mean, the most frustrating part about the Knicks losing games, one of it right up at the top of the list, is the sloppy fouls by Karl-Anthony Towns and then him bitching about it. Like that, I've seen so much of that where he commits these terrible fouls, things he doesn't have to do, just dumb, lazy actions, and then complains about it and goes to the bench.
How about the foul where I think it was, I know it was Jalen Brunson, and I want to say it was Shepard, where he just actually took him to the ground.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they were playing tackle basketball last night.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby ran into, I'm trying to think which pacer he ran to. Maybe it was Obi Toppin on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that flying around. I mean, you're right about these guys being on the ground, too.
I mean, there's effort there. I'm not questioning the effort. Maybe not so much on defense, but there is effort, and they're hustling, and they're hitting each other. There's no question about that. But it seemed like OG and Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges, the three of them, were so, like, they were off last night.
Yeah, I know. I agree in that you're going to need to get everybody giving their best effort in game five, because I also think the Pacers are one of those teams, like, you know, they smell blood. They don't quit. They're the opposite. I mean, even though they did blow a lead in game three, but still, they have, it's almost like they've got the supreme confidence. Like the way that Tyrese Haliburton was carrying himself last night was like he knew he wasn't losing that game.
Well, if nobody was near you when you were shooting, you'd be all right too.
But he also had a ton of assists though, man. Like it wasn't just the shots, like,
and
he pointed out. I mean, he was finding people all over the place. Man, and he had four steals, too.
And he almost had a quadruple-double.
Yeah. Yep.
And no turnovers.
Yeah. So it wasn't just open shots knocking down.
So you have to understand why the no turnovers is so important, because he's always got the ball in his hands. He's always got the ball. He's like the Jalen Brunson of the Pacers. He's the one that's distributing. He's the one that's carrying the ball. He's the one that's bringing it up. Most of the time, he's the guy that's got the ball in his hands. And that's why what he did last night was so impressive.
Yeah, meanwhile, the Knicks are turning the ball over at a crazy rate. Josh Hart with five of them, which is totally unlike him, which feeds right into the transition stuff that they're trying to do, flying around, topping dunks, everything. It's just going right to the basket, just slicing them through the lane. It was just really annoying. I mean, really, really annoying. And then we're also, you know, we always talk about, you know, great Knicks teams in history and the defense that they play. And we kind of looked at the group last year as one of those teams. And then this year, if you saw like the end of games 1 and 2 against the Boston Celtics and how well Mikal Bridges played defensively and the steals at the end of those games, like they had a little bit of that identity there, too. They have not had it in this series. No.
Wow.
No defensive identity this
overall,
year.
Overall, the Pacers shot 51% from the field. And how many of those buckets were right in and around the basket? How many times was there somebody open right underneath with nobody else? It seems like when the Knicks get down there, there's five Pacers right on top of whoever the Knick is.
Yep.
It's just crazy how it just kind of looks and feels a certain way when you're watching. And we all take away something different from watching these games. But the thing that really struck me yesterday was those three players that were off offensively and turning the ball over and missing shots and not playing great defense. But overall, the defense by the Knicks was atrocious.
Let's go to Peter, who's in Florida. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, Boomer Gio, how you doing?
Good,
hey,
Peter. Boomer. What's up?
Good. 1973, right? The Knicks had one of the greatest teams ever, okay? And Wednesday night, right, the other night when we won, each team played. That's the way they played. Everyone had 18 shots, okay, 16 shots. And basically, we spread the ball around, right? No turnovers. Last night, it's so boring. We dribble, dribble, dribble. No one gets involved. And we've had more turnovers in this thing, and our defense has been horrendous. And one of the other things is Brunson's got more turnovers in this series than he has in the whole playoffs. And they're just putting so much pressure on him. We got to they're charging him at every moment. We got to pass the ball. Everyone should touch the ball and shoot, and he should take the last shot. Like Gio said, he should have shot more last night. He goes, the shots in the fourth quarter, they were bricks that we were putting up a lot of them. And I just think when we played like the 73 team, which had five Hall of Famers in the starting lineup, everyone moved the ball.
I mean, you got to remember, there's not five Hall of Famers in this lineup. I mean, you know, and they are playing against a pretty good team. But I understand exactly what you're saying.
52 years ago.
You know, the easiest thing also to do is just not to have Jalen Brunson always bringing the ball up. Just get him the ball when you cross, half court. I mean, other guys can bring the ball up, and other guys do bring the ball up.
Yeah.
But usually when they get the rebound, they're looking for 11, and they want 11 to take it up. Or if the other team scores, they usually throw it into Brunson.
Yeah. I mean, and these turnovers aren't just because the Knicks are sloppy. I mean, it's because of what the Pacers are doing to them. I mean, that's another part of it.
Especially him in particular, because they know, and everybody in the league knows, that when you play the Knicks, you've got to stop him, or you got to make him work harder so as the game wears on, he wears down. And it's just a natural thing. It's not something that, like, he's in shape. They're all in shape.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. But, I mean, it's the running up and down the court, like the Pacers, and especially when they're going to the bench, they just...
Let's face it,
they're fresher.
Not playing any defense.
No. No, we know that. We know that.
So passive on defense.
Yeah. I mean, but also then when he even tries a little bit, he ends up getting in foul trouble. You know, I mean, that which is
crazy.
I know. He gets in more foul trouble as a guard in the postseason than I've seen. I mean, it's crazy. But I guess maybe they're just not used to him trying on defense. And anytime he tries and makes contact, they call a foul on him. I don't know.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. After a rough night in Indiana for the Knicks, Jerry Recco is going to make us relive some of it and then give us the baseball stories from yesterday. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. This was the Tibbs mic'd up in the huddle as he was imploring his guys to play a little bit harder and better, if you will, defensively.
Go jog! They're trying to catch us on the run! Sprint! 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 Come on, man, come on! Communication! Prioritize the ball! The ball should not be left unguarded! Come on! We're better than that!
And that was on TNT last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us to the Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona.
Near corner, McConnell, back to top and right edge, on top to Halliburton. Here comes a long, 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 long three.
Make them pay for it. They don't read the ball screen right, and he just lets it fly.
From dead on, he was right up against the logo at center. It's 99-89.
And that was Pacers Radio with the call, the Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona. Fair to say, didn't exactly do what Tibbs was asking them to do there.
No, it did not.
And that was a big part of last night's 130-121 win for Indiana. Tyrese Halliburton, a hell of a line, 32-12, 15, 4 steals, 0 turnovers on the night. Pascal Siakam had 30. So here was Tibbs. Need better collectively as a group on the defensive end of the floor.
It's not just, you know, Halliburton's a great player, and you don't guard great players in this league individually. It's your entire team. And if one guy's not doing their job, everyone's going to look bad.
Tips courtesy of MSG.
I mean, you look at two of those shots, I mean, Jalen Brunson's 5 feet away from him. Now, listen, he made two really long threes, as that announcer pointed out. But, you know, again, he's got the ability to do that. And I guess Jalen just doesn't want to get blown by either. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird, he had two huge shots from, what would you say, 32 feet?
At least. One was by the, like, his heels were on the logo.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you defend that.
Here is Bridges losing this game down 3-1, all part of the process.
Yeah, it's part of your grind, part of the story. Just, you know, we just got to learn from it, and we've been part of a lot of different games, different series. But yeah, it's just a little gut check time.
He shot 6 of 15. Jalen Brunson, who in the loss did have 31 points, says gave up way too much to start the game.
Obviously, the first quarter, 43-35. Just not a good defensive quarter from us. Offensively, the ball was going in, but didn't get enough stops.
And then there's OG Anunoby. He also struggled with his shot. He says we will be better.
Oh, yeah. You can always grow from everything. So even a loss, you can learn from it and grow from it. So we just have to grow from it, learn from it, watch the film, and get better. And be ready on Thursday.
Now, he also did a pregame interview on TNT.
Yeah, where they were crushing him for it.
Well, they weren't. No, I don't think they were crushing him. I think they were crushing, I'll play it.
Crushing TNT, you think?
Well, these are the TNT guys. The idea that they actually, I guess, put him up to doing it right before this big game.
Chuck, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Could you do an interview before the game like that?
Hell no.
I'm just saying. I, that's why I didn't ask the question.
I would not.
I just don't want to be the guy who messes his head up.
No.
And that is a tough time to do an interview.
I would never do
that. That's a tough.
So I don't know who they're not killing him. It's more the idea that you're putting him in front of a camera on mic right before
this
game starts.
I guess. The sort of like the hell no thing made me think that they were criticizing OG a little bit for agreeing to it.
But maybe.
Maybe sure. He didn't have a choice. Sure. I don't know. Maybe they said one of the players, one of the starters has to talk to him.
Has to do it.
So
So. It's possible. Didn't they talk to Brunson during the game, too, at one point? They talked to the coaches, but...
Yeah, during the game. I don't remember Brunson during the game. It might have been at a halftime, maybe.
Maybe that was what it was. But whatever. I'll see if I can find it. Here was Pascal Siakam, much better than last game for his Pacers.
The second half wasn't to our standards, and I think, we just came back with just more energy, playing Pacer basketball, and we know that, we'll give ourselves a chance every single night. For
well, yes. Yeah, there was a point 30. There in the fourth quarter where Rick Carlisle calls a timeout with the Pacers having the ball in the offensive end of the court, and Haliburton looked over to him like, "Well, why are you calling timeout?" And I know why he was calling timeout. I'm gonna bring everybody over here and say, "Guys, we got to stop cranking threes and missing them." And I think the next shot, I think they brought in Siakam, and he hit a three out of the corner. And that was like this one here, right there.
And wide open.
Wide open again.
Wide open. So the Knicks are down 3-1, but they are home for game 5 at the Garden tomorrow night. Tonight you've got the Thunder and the T-Wolves. Oklahoma City at home, up 3-1, looking for the closeout in the West. We take you to Citi Field last night, where the Mets took on the White Sox. Chicago got an early home run, had themselves a 2-0 lead. You had some goofiness on the bases with Brandon Nimmo and Juan Soto, but Pete Alonso to the rescue.
Now the 1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive in the air, well hit to center. Back goes Taylor onto the track. It might go, and it's gone. A home run for Pete Alonso. And the Mets get the 2 runs right back with a home run of their own as Alonso hits his 11th of the year.
Made it 2-2.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
First, yes.
So this play between Nimmo and Soto.
Yeah.
How many times do you think that happens in a season during the MLB, MLB season?
4. I don't even think that much. You think 4 times?
Man. I mean, this is Soto.
I've never seen it before like that.
This is Soto in a Met uniform. It's just like the most Met thing ever for a guy that you're paying $700. And
well, not his fault.
I know it's not his fault, but I'm just saying it. I'm like, you can't make it up.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're playing a team that was known for the worst baseball ever played, too. It's kind of ironic in a way, but hey, they won the game, so whatever.
What you do see a lot is 2 guys on the same base confused.
You see a lot of that, yeah, one guy getting tagged out.
Right, not being passed. It was goofy. Anyway, Alonso the home run, and then Jared Young hit a 2-run homer. He also then doubled a couple of innings later. Here was Carlos Mendoza about this guy.
I said it before the game. We like the at-bats. He's a professional at-bat. The way he controls the strike zone, he seems like he's always in hitter's count, putting himself in good hitter's count, whether it's 2-0, 3-1. And, when he's doing that, he's
pretty good is what he's saying. Here was Young and SNY happy to be a part of this.
I mean, it feels great. It's kind of how you draw it up. You want to come up and contribute right away, and it's just great to get on the board. And
yep, first home run as a Met. They win 6-4. Francisco Lindor with an RBI single. Tyler McGill 5 2/3 for the win. That is 4 straight. They are a game and a half behind Philly for the NL East lead. You got the series finale today moved up from tonight to this afternoon, 1:10, because of the weather. It'll be Griffin Canning and Shane Smith on 880 AM at Mets Odyssey Radio. As for the Yankees, how about we start with the ThriveWell Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion. His name is Ben Rice.
Next pitch, breaking ball hammered right center field, all kinds of ride. There it goes. Ben Rice gives the Yankees a 1-0 lead on a tremendously struck home run. His 11th of the season, RBI number 23, and you're new from the sound.
Yes, you did, Dave Sims. That's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. 1-0 there, 3-2 the final. The Yankees led 3-0, gave up a couple of runs late by Devin Williams, but they do win the game. Here was Austin Wells on, yes, big, big win. Carlos Rodon outstanding yet again.
It's always good to win the series in the first 2 games. Carlos pitched great, had a couple big hits there to give us the lead, and able to hold on to it at the end.
And then later in the post game, Rodon was asked his key to success.
It's just going out there and competing. I think, Wells and JC have been really great, understanding what I need to do out there, and I just kind of just play along and try to attack the zone. And I mean, I feel like defensively we've been been really great.
How about the fact, and I know the Mets were good last year, obviously, and the Yankees were, but we are sitting here with the Knicks doing what they're doing, and we've got two teams right now that are a combined, if I do the math quickly, 68-41. That's pretty good.
That is very good.
That's pretty good. The Mets are 34-21. The Yankees with that win last night,
now 34-20.
Well, the AL East isn't very good, we know. And the Orioles have just been a train wreck. And then, you know, Boston.
This should be a cakewalk for the Yankees this entire year. Records should be set. Wins should be, records should be, I mean, all kinds of
things.
Just keep
taking care of business.
Yeah.
Just keep winning series.
You're declaring the AL East over?
I mean, you know, how could you not?
Got to ask Sal if that's okay. That was his phrase, even though it was the NL East.
Yeah, but again,
he trademarked it.
He's a Met fan. I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm just telling you what I see here.
Yep. AL East is over.
Try to be unbiased about this.
We're past Memorial Day.
That's right. Declare. And, you know, the thing about it is that Brian Cashman's done such a good job with this team.
So?
So what?
Is it over?
You know, it's never over until the season's over, right, until they clinch. But I don't see anybody even remotely close to them.
I would agree. You're absolutely right.
I mean, who would be there? Their toughest opponent in the American League right now would be who?
Detroit.
Oh, absolutely. Detroit. Cleveland's good. They are.
Come on.
Seattle. I don't know.
Imagine if the Mariners beat the Yankees in the ALCS, Dave Sims would be devastated.
That is true. Detroit is very good, though. The Reds beat the Royals 7-2. I mention it because Elliot De La Cruz tied the game with a 436-foot home run in the fourth inning. And then two innings later, how about 452 feet of home run?
Ellie hammers this thing to right field. This is well hit. It is deep, and it ain't coming back. Gone into the fountains. Into the second tier of the fountains in right field. Wow. Ellie, have a night. He puts the Reds on top 3-2.
And that was Reds radio with the call there. Yeah, that was a mammoth home run. Two of them for him, and they win 7-2 last night. I'll play this again just because we'll make sure everybody hears it. It's funny. Terry Bradshaw on 103.7 The Buzz, not a fan of the Steelers pursuing Aaron Rodgers.
That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is, this to me is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
go somewhere and
chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
100%.
Now, he is still with Fox, right, Terry?
Yeah, he
is.
It
was just Jimmy Johnson that walked away.
That's
oddly
right. Yep. And by the way, he said it's not the Steelers' way, whoever that host was. They did the exact same thing last year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They brought those guys in for 1 year.
Very true.
So
neither still there.
I mean, what is the Steelers' way? Going with Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback?
Right now, he's your guy.
I mean, I'm not the biggest...
Trade for Kirk Cousins.
Mm.
Could do that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know, like, was he terrible last year because he finally just was done? Or was he terrible last year because he wasn't fully healthy?
Kirk Cousins?
I think it's because he wasn't fully healthy, but I would just say that I still believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the owner Pittsburgh came out and said it 6 weeks ago.
And you also remember that clip I played to him, too, about the Bears and there's a team that's going to be there?
Yeah.
Certainly sounds like it. A couple of other things. Oilers Stars last night. Edmonton takes a 3-1 series lead.
A little bit of the same story.
That's not it.
Right?
I don't know what that is.
That's the same story.
That was Peter DeBoer I was going to play.
Drysdale out there with Henrik and Kapanen wins the draw. Kulak and Hurst the D pairing. A lead pass. Kapanen has an empty net and pokes it home. Empty netter Kasperi Kapanen. Edmonton extends to a 3-1 lead with 2:27
to play. So really, if you think about it, so they're up 3-1. You've got the Panthers up 3-1. You've got the Pacers up 3-1. The Thunder, these conference finals...
Haven't been all that great.
No. Well, they win last night 4-1. And then finally, we got the Memorial coming up, as we know.
Yeah.
So Rory McIlroy is not playing in it, skipping the event. Jack Nicklaus, the host of the event, was asked about it.
Were you not aware until basically the rest of us that Rory wasn't coming?
I was sort of aware of it about the middle of last week.
And so it sort of surprises you, I guess, that he's not?
Yeah, it surprised me. But, you know, guys have got schedules.
That seems fair, right? Like, the headlines are all like, McIlroy stuns Nicklaus. And
no, I mean, it's almost like the headlines are saying that Rory McIlroy disrespects
by Nicklaus. Not calling Nicklaus.
By not calling
right. Right, but like one headline was his stunning decision to not play. Well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's one more from Nicklaus. Not really sure why he's not there.
I haven't talked to him for him to tell me why or why not. You know, that's just his call. I made a lot of calls that I had to make when I played.
And so it still goes...
His answer was fair there, but I think that the thing that got people riled up was that the beginning of that clip. I haven't spoken to him about why.
But he did speak to me about the Masters and some tips around the Masters and all that other stuff. I mean, look, this is an elevated PGA Tour event. They elevate these events so these guys actually come and play and have a chance to make even more money than they used to have prior to LIV becoming into existence.
Exactly right. And I would like to say personally, I faced my demons yesterday. I went back to Howell Park. Played golf with my dad.
I saw the tree there.
One of my sons.
Were you behind the tree again?
I was behind the tree.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm here. I'm good.
Well, what'd you end up doing? Did you move the ball?
I kicked it left and hit a beautiful shot down the fairway. That's what I did.
Why were you behind that tree again?
Wayward drive.
But did you know that when you were up on the tee box? You know the tree. Obviously, you know the tree.
The same exact spot.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, yes. Was there a makeshift memorial there for your head?
No, but there should be. And I did see, so they're George, Joe, and Glenn. They're big fans and listeners of the show.
Okay.
George is the one running around the place saying, make sure you stay away from the tree. I'm like, oh, I'm going to face this thing. And I did. And
was that the guy who drove you to the hospital?
No, the ambulance took me to the hospital.
That's right. I thought there was a guy who did. Yeah.
You look like you dressed up like golf. You're going to hit yourself in the face with a golf ball tonight? That'd be hilarious. Maybe you'll die.
You brought it up, not me.
No, because I figure I posted the show. I couldn't believe how close I was to the tree again. But I learned my lesson.
Yeah, but you said you kicked the ball.
Oh,
left.
Yeah.
You did not hit the ball where it lies.
This is what I've learned. I ain't playing for money. And even if I am, I give up the hole. I don't care. I'd rather not drop dead on the golf course. I'll kick it left. It's not that big a deal.
Smart
not a pro.
By you, Jerry.
Yes, I've learned my lesson.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quickly, before we get back into the Knicks, I was talking to Maggie Gray, used to work here at WFAN, now does the show down the hall with Andrew Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network. And she says she was driving around Basking Ridge, New Jersey yesterday, and she sees a man that she recognizes. And he's sitting there, and he's got curly blonde hair. And she's like, man, I know that guy.
Oh.
And then she sees that he's with a very attractive woman. He's an older guy, attractive woman. I'm like, she goes, that's Sammy Hagar. What is Sammy Hagar doing in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, just sitting around, right? So she's like, I gotta get a picture, get my son a picture with Sammy Hagar.
I mean, Basking Ridge is a really nice area.
She's not saying it's not. Not saying it's not. It's just a random place for Sammy Hagar to be sitting around, right? I mean, it'd be a weird place if he was sitting around Sayville. I love Sayville. Sammy Hagar's sitting at the coffee shop. It's a weird thing. So he's sitting at a coffee shop in Basking Ridge, Sammy Hagar. So she goes up and she gets her son out and thinks it's going to be this cool moment of going to bring up to Sammy Hagar. She can get a picture. And then she goes, hey, Sammy Hagar, take a picture. She takes a picture. And he goes, just to let you know, I'm a Sammy Hagar impersonator. I'm not actually Sammy Hagar.
Oh.
And she goes, no, you can't be. Because it's you. You're pulling my leg. It's just you. You just don't want people to know. Like, I respect you. He's like, no, I'm not him. And he pulls out a picture out of his pocket of the two of them together, and it wasn't him. It was a Sammy. Who is a Sammy Hagar impersonator?
Well, I'm a Phil Simms impersonator.
But honestly, like, who is that guy? And that's something where you must have looked like Sammy Hagar to begin with and then decided I might as well use this look. Because you don't try to look like Sammy Hagar, right? To be a Sammy Hagar impersonator?
I think when Sammy Hagar was younger, I mean, he had that kind of beachy look to him, right?
Yeah, and he had a shirt on too that was like a beachy shirt thing, she said, like that was just like him and flip flops and everything else.
Yeah, he's playing it up and you know, he's obviously the impersonator. I wonder if he can actually sing like Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, but I mean you think about like all right, there's Elvis impersonators, you know, there's Madonna impersonators.
They all sing though.
Beyonce impersonators. Right, they all sing, but like that's like the upper echelon of pop stars you see like impersonators. Like, maybe even a Neil Diamond impersonator, a Frank Sinatra impersonator, a Sammy Hagar impersonator? That's what your life is? That's wild to me. That is, like, is there a David Lee Roth impersonator out there?
Al?
I mean, if there's a Sammy Hagar one, absolutely.
There's got to be a David Lee Roth one, then.
Al, would you get along with the impersonator or no?
I would think so.
You think so?
Definitely.
You're so scared of David Lee Roth.
Yeah, well, that was...
That was a bad situation.
Yeah, it was. But you were scared.
Well...
I want to go to work. Are you watching this? Yes.
Are you watching this happen? Yeah, so anyway, that I thought that was a funny story because, like, first of all, like, if I saw someone that I thought was Sammy Hagar, would I stop? You know, would I stop and get a, like, bring Sabrina out or Summer and get a picture with Sammy Hagar?
That brings me to a question.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that, other than Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
Is there somebody other than Dua Lipa that you would stop and take, say, Sabrina out of the car or Summer out of the car and go take a picture with?
Oh, sure. I mean, yes, if they're getting the picture. You know, me's a different thing. But if they're getting the picture, there's a number of people, I would say.
Okay.
Because I think that would be a cool thing for them.
Like sitting at a Sable coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they may not even know who that person is. You may know who that person is, but they may not know who that person is.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually not sure.
You know, Mickey Mouse was sitting there. Yeah, of course.
But they got to meet Mickey at Disney. Right. So I was thinking maybe like a Blippi. If I saw Blippi hanging out there. Or like someone in a Peppa Pig outfit Bluey or something.
As we were talking about yesterday. I mean, you know, there are furries out there.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
never know.
Like if there was, something like that, maybe. But yeah, I got to get my son a picture with Sammy Hagar. And it turns out it was like beach bum something, club shirt and flip-flops. And she's like arguing with him, no, you're Sammy Hagar. I get it. You just don't want a lot of attention taking pictures. He's like, no, I'm really not.
I will say, speaking of Bluey,
yeah,
the Martins have a Bluey bubble machine that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
We have the same thing.
Oh, it puts out about 1,000 bubbles. I've never seen anything like it. And the kids, the girls are just chasing after these bubbles. Like, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's an engineering marvel. This Bluey bubble machine.
Yes.
I mean, is it the one where you like you pour it in the bottom
it's
and
just
it's like
the
a
head.
Propeller?
It's the head.
Yeah, it's the head. It's like a little, it goes around. You're like,
yes, it must be 1,000 bubbles come out of it.
It is crazy. Yeah, it's about time to get the bubble machine out of the basement now that the weather's
like
turning.
Like small bubbles or larger size bubbles?
Smaller. But, yeah. They three different sizes, I would say.
There's so many of them. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, wow, this was worth the money. This is one of the few things that was actually worth the money. All right, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Ray?
Hey, what's up, Boomer? You keep saying how the Yankees have a cakewalk this year, but, I mean, they play the National League teams as well, and they've done very well against those National League teams, including the Padres and Mets.
Yeah, okay, that's why they have a cakewalk. They're a good team, man. They got a really good team.
That's why they got a cakewalk.
I'll tell you, they have a really good team. Brian Cashman's going to add to that team in the trade deadline. We all know that. They've gotten unexpected, I would say more than expected, production out of guys that basically replaced Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And even like last night, they can win a game where Aaron Judge is not hitting a home run or not going to run.
Yeah. I don't know why that upsets Yankee fans when you say that, because you're not saying that they're not a good team. You're saying they're a good team.
You're saying that
it's going to be easy for them because they're a great team and there's not a lot of great teams in the American League. It's a compliment, but every Yankee fan gets all pissed off about it.
And can you imagine if they had Gerrit Cole and he was healthy?
Yeah, or Luis Gil, or both of them.
Oh,
I mean, my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, they're locked and loaded, man.
Yeah, so just because the American League stinks doesn't mean that you don't think the Yankees are a good team.
Yeah, I mean, like, the American League Central, like, they always have teams with winning records. And every now and again, the Mariners do something where they have a winning record. But, you know, when they get to the big moments, it's like the Yankee machine. Forget it.
Right. I mean, if the Astros aren't the Astros anymore.
They're not going to be the Astros. They're going to be a good team, but they're not the
American
Astros.
Stinks. Yeah, the American League stinks. It's the Yankees. It's the Yankees.
They are
league.
So good and so well put together and managed so well.
Right. Like, I think you could actually, because I know Aaron Judge has had his struggles in the postseason, you can actually give him a series off just to make sure you get him in there. Maybe have him be like the first base coach or something just to get in the game here. It's going to be so, whoever they play in that wild card round at first round or the DS rather, because they're going to win the division and everything else. I would give him the series off and just let the rest of the team do their thing and then bring him out as a secret
And by
weapon.
The way, I'm telling you, wait till Giancarlo Stanton comes back.
Oh yeah, Big G.
Big G.
Big G in your face. Jason on Long Island. What's going on, Jason?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up,
all
man?
All right, Jason, what's happening, brother?
All right, Knicks, we're down 3-1, backs against the wall. Desperate times call for desperate measures. These were supposed to be evenly matched teams. It's not a talent problem. It's not an attitude problem. This is 100% a mojo problem. And there's only one way to change the mojo tomorrow night.
Get rid of the celebrities.
James Dolan. James Dolan needs to make tomorrow night. James Dolan needs to make tomorrow night Charles Oakley night. Put egos aside. Bury the hatchet at center court before the game. The city will go crazy. Get Ben Stiller in a Charles Oakley jersey. Let's go Knicks in seven.
Yeah, I mean, the fans would love to see Oakley back there, I'm sure. There's no way in hell that's going to happen.
I see something about, like, they would welcome him back, but what was the conditioning?
That he had to apologize.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. All it said. I saw that article, too. It seemed like not a big deal.
Is there, like, a lawsuit thing still going on or no? Do we know? I don't even know anymore.
It was a long time ago at this point. I know he's on, like, a reality show now. And so Gina just watches all the housewife reality shows. I think it's a housewife show. I'm not positive. And she goes, this Charles Oakley, you know, was he a good player for the Knicks? And I'm like, yeah, it was like one of the great gritty players when I was growing up. She's like, he's weird.
Well,
I guess he's weird on the show. He's strange on the show.
He has to drop the lawsuit, not just apologize.
He has to drop the lawsuit and just apologize.
Yeah, so I guess it's not going to happen. I mean, there's enough former Knicks in there to come on. God. I mean, Ewing's there every time. Stephon Marbury, Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, Latrell Sprewell, Larry Johnson, John Starks. They're all there. They're crying out loud.